edify, we find two different applications of edify used. In the one application, it refers to construction, to a building. Usually it is used in those terms figuratively. The second way in which we use this word is to the promotion of growth, especially in our Christian walk. Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, to give one strength and courage. Now, we're not going to build a building today, so we're not going to use it in that term. But I do want us to examine the second usage this afternoon. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Peter's painting a picture here, a verse that we use quite a bit. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. One of the greatest acts that as Christians we can perform is the one of edification among the saints. The world is working very hard at wearing us down. Living in this present world is like trying to climb a mountain in the fog. One, we cannot see where our destination is. We keep reaching forth, climbing higher and higher, not knowing when we're going to reach the top. But also in that fog, it makes for some unsteady feet. It's kind of a lot like Lot in Sodom. 2 Peter 2 and verse 7 says that God had delivered just Lot, vexed with all the filthy conversation of the wicked. Things are no different today. We are bombarded from every direction. We can't seem to escape it. We can probably empathize with Lot. It's all around us. And this is why Paul spent so much time in telling brothers and sisters in Christ to build one another up. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Paul wrote, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You see, we're looking at a building also in a figurative sense in building up our spiritual temple. And that is the responsibility for each of us. Because when Paul spoke these words, it wasn't a suggestion, but a command. It is an action that benefits us tremendously, not only to the ones who are being edified, but those also who are edifying. I like on occasion to go and look through the three books that John wrote, the last three, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. For in these three books, we find tremendous examples of God's love for each and every one of us. And John, 1 John 5 and verse 3 said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and that His commandments are not grievous." You know, we oftentimes think, I'm having a hard time with this or a hard time with that. But God has made sure that every one of His commandments are doable, that we can accomplish those things. It takes a little bit of work on our parts. Then it's for when these times get very hard that we need each other in order to be able to help us in fulfilling those things that we need to fulfill. For God didn't bring His commandments on there to be a hindrance to us, but to benefit us. And edification is no exception. When we gather together on the Lord's Day, when we gather together on our midweek meetings, when we gather together in some of our social functions as a congregation, we are edifying one another. But especially when we gather together on the Lord's Day, we come together edifying each other as we worship God. And unlike many in the religious world today, we strive to keep God as our object of worship. We don't come here looking to be entertained. At least I hope we don't. But as saints, we are also to consider each other when we come together in worship. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10 and verses 22 through 25, he writes these words here also for our benefit. Let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. These pure waters, we find those words again in the book of Revelation, in Revelations 22 and verse 1, where we talk about the pure water, the river of pure water running from the throne of God. And that is edifying to each of us. And with these verses in mind, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Are we an encouragement or a discouragement to others when we worship? Are we an asset or a detriment to others as they worship God? Now, we need to keep ourselves from falling into the same category as Hophni and Phinehas in 1 Samuel. In verse 17 of chapter 2, Hophni and Phinehas, they had perverted the religion so bad that men were abhorring the offerings of the Lord. They were evil men. They were tearing down the people they were supposed to be building up. I enjoy the singing in this congregation, and I'm sure many of you enjoy the same thing. The last song that Paul led before I came up here is full of edifying words. And we should take great comfort in these words. Nothing that we did with our voices interfered with the message that was brought by the songs that Paul has led. Or Joel this morning, for that matter. Everything was pure. Everything was from the heart. The pure sound of the voice is edifying because we're not distracted from outside sounds. And maybe this is the point that Paul was trying to get at in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Folks seem to miss out on that when they had the outside distraction of mechanical instruments. We are singing to God when we worship. But in doing so, we also have the opportunity to build each other up. The songs that we sing, all of them, reminds us of the blessings that we have been so richly given. That we enjoy these things. There's the blessings of hope and of grace and peace and joy and forgiveness and salvation. And we sing songs about heaven. How we long to get there. And just how beautiful a place it will be These all serve to build us up as a child of God. When we're distressed and we open up God's Word and we read His words, how much comfort does that provide us? During our times of trials and tribulations, what comfort we can gather from those words. And we don't have to go far to do it. We don't have to make an appointment, only to be called later and have the appointment canceled. We don't even have to get out of our homes. In Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, Paul, speaking with the elders there at Ephesus, and he provided them a warning also that they were to be vigilant. And Paul was building these men up because he knew that they were going to have a journey ahead of them that was not always going to be easy. So Paul was telling them where to find this comfort. And it was in the Word of God. Has God ever left man without hope? I submit that every word, every verse, every chapter, every book in the Bible contains hope. We only have to look in it deep enough to see. When we read of the sins of David, do we see hope in there? Yes, we can. Because we can see in those words that there is a way out. When we look in Genesis 6 and we see the condition of the world, then you might think, well, how can you see hope in that? But God had a plan. You see, in everything that was negative, God had a plan to turn it into a positive. It's all there. We just have to seek it. The world tells us that there is no God. But the Bible tells us that there is a God, and He is a God that loves all of mankind. You only have to look at John 3:16. The world tells us that we're alone. The Bible in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells us that God will never forsake us. The world tells us that there's nothing better than this world. 2 Peter 3 and verse 13 says that the best is yet to come. The world says that death is the end. But 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 tells us that it is the doorway to eternal life. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:17. There are many examples of those who edified one another. Here a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about Barnabas in the book of Acts and how he was long-suffering with John Mark. How he was able to build him up into the man in which he was able to write one of the Gospels. But he was also the great example of an encourager, one who edified. He befriended Paul when Paul had been forsaken in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Everyone was afraid of Paul. But Barnabas built him up. Barnabas edified others too. It wasn't but a very short time span that Paul became accepted and became an apostle's apostle. He defended him, he encouraged him, He brought Paul from Tarsus to Antioch, started the first missionary journey. Now, if you or I were to go to another city into a church and nobody trusted us, nobody wanted us, how would that make us feel? Maybe you've attended congregations before where you never felt welcome. It's a sad state of affairs. Paul was encouraged. Paul was lifted up. One, because of Barnabas. Two, because he had a deep abiding faith in God. We all would rather be lifted up than torn down. You know, once a month I get a magazine, This Old House magazine. And in the very last page of the magazine, you can find an advertisement in there. They have a picture of a house that's for sale. They had one this month from North Carolina, and from the outside, it was ranchagle. It needed a lot of work. It was only $33,000. It would be the kind of house that Kaylin wants, that all the families could live in it in one house. But you look at the house and you know, you sit there and look at it, and thought about the best thing for that house would be to tear it down. Been a shame to tear down a grand old house that was built in the 1800s. For just a little love and tender care to be restored to its once magnificent beauty. We're broken. We're at times torn down. But by edifying one another, we can be built up into that glorious beauty that we originally had in mind. Can you imagine what Paul's work would have been like if Barnabas didn't help? If Barnabas didn't encourage him and encourage other brethren to accept him? He could have simply stood with all the other men and shunned him. Number-wise, we may never know exactly how many benefited from Barnabas edifying Paul. But we most certainly have benefited from that edification. Paul writes some of the most beautiful letters, and he talks to us in a way that we truly can understand. He is talking from a position of the hardships that he's faced and endured. And we can gather strength from it, and we can be edified by those words. Because while we may never have been shipwrecked or beaten with rods or whipped or robbed or stoned, brethren, our hearts and our mental capacity, our mental abilities have been suffering greatly at the hands of man. But Paul made it through, and we can too. But we can only do that when we stand together and help one another. Where do you stand today? When you gather together to worship, first and foremost is your worship to God. And secondly, are you looking out for one another and building each other up? When we respond to the invitation, when we see others who respond, is it our goal to help them when we learn of what they're going through? Are we edifying them and telling them and helping them to endure and to overcome? If you're not a child of God, it's very hard to try to get through this world. And while you may get through this world with a long life, the death that opens the door to eternal life is going to open the door to eternal death. And that is not where you want to be. If you desire to obey the gospel, we want to give you the opportunity this afternoon. Maybe the things of life is bearing down on you and you need the prayers of the congregation to be able to help to overcome. And we pray that you will give us a chance to help, to remember you in our prayers, to give you a hand up and not a hand out, but to help you out with the things that you're going through. If anyone has a need this afternoon, we want to give you that opportunity. If you'll come as together we stand and we sing.